We read in Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning? Thou art cut down to the ground that didst bestrait the nations. And thou didst say in thy heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Nonetheless, art thou brought down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. They shall consider thee, saying, Is this he, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that shook kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, that overthrew the cities thereof, that dismissed not his prisoners homewards? Philippians 2 and verse 5. For let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem it an object of rapine to be on equality with God, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of men. And having been found in figure as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and granted him a name, that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of heavenly and earthly and infernal beings, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. The gospel is not about Satan, but it's about how you might be released from his power. As you sit in your seat tonight, you're under one of two authorities. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you're under his authority. If you're not, then you're under the authority of Satan. It's as simple as that. It says of the Thessalonians that they were delivered from the authority of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now that's what happens to persons who come to Christ, delivered from the authority of darkness. Now you say, well, I was brought up in a Christian home. I have light as to these things. Have you accepted Christ as your personal Saviour? That's the point. That's why the gospel is going out again tonight, that you may have a personal transaction with the Saviour. What a wonderful blessing it is to be brought up in a Christian home, in a home where the Bible is read and the Lord is honoured. That's a marvellous blessing, but it won't save you. You need to come to Christ. You need to accept God's way of salvation. And it was the way for Saul of Tarsus, and it's the way for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. This scripture in Isaiah is quite remarkable. I know it probably refers to the king of Babylon, but it really represents that which rears itself up against God and against his people. And you know, you need to understand what Satan has sown in your heart. That's what you need to understand. Satan, you know, is described as the covering cherub, but he fell into sin. And because of his activities in the Garden of Eden, he's taken the whole race with him. The whole race. Great deceiver that he is, you know. You remember what happened in the Garden of Eden. He suggested, or he implied to Eve, that God was withholding something good from Adam and Eve. And he told her that Adam and Eve would become like God if they only ate of this fruit. And you know, they could only attain the knowledge of good and evil through falling into sin. So Eve was deceived, but Adam disobeyed God. That's what happened. Disobeyed God. By one man, sin entered the world, and by sin, death. Death has passed upon all, for all have sinned. Now the truth of that is everywhere. All have sinned, all have died. From Adam onwards, death has overtaken everybody. And nobody will escape. Nobody. Some may be taken to be with the Lord. We may be alive when the Lord comes, those of us who believe, but we don't know when the Lord's coming. He may come tonight. Is that a hope in every heart in this room? But if he doesn't, death will overtake every one of us. And you know, judgment comes after death. After death. So death is not the end. It's not the end. That's what people like to think. And there's a cult abroad today that tells people that death is the finish, so you need to worry. But you have every reason to worry if you're facing death without a link with the Saviour. Every reason. The man in Luke who said to his soul to repose himself. Repose himself. He had a long life of luxury ahead of him. No basis whatever to repose himself because he had no link with God. No link with the Saviour. Tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. And who shall be what thou hast prepared? Don't ignore what God has prepared in relation to your lost condition. Cain, you know, Cain disregarded the fall in his offering to God. He had no regard to the fall of man. Abel had regard to the fall because he offered to the firstlings of the flock and of their fat. He knew what God required, but Cain offered of his own efforts. And you know, he was told that the sin offering lay at the door. Lay at the door. It was available for him. But you know, he went out of the presence of God and he stepped over the sin offering. He disregarded what God had prepared for him and for all. Don't do that in the glad tidings tonight. Don't disregard what has been offered you in the glad tidings. Man fell into sin. So you need to understand that you belong to a race that has fallen. Every single one of us. And you need to know what's been sown in your heart. You know, the world is obsessed with the glory of man, the promotion of the wrong man, and things that are abominable and obscene are being celebrated. It's the world in which we are in, you know. It says of the heart of man that it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked or incurable. Was it made like that, the heart of man? No, it wasn't. Was not made like that. It says of the Lord that he would not trust himself to men because he knew what was in man. That's the creator of the universe. He knew what was in man. He knew what was sown in man's heart by Satan. Promotion of that order of man, the glory of man, seen here in Isaiah 4 and 14, I will exalt my throne. You know, these persons that came to Christ that we read of in the Gospels, he could see right into their hearts. Think of that. So often, the Lord answered the questioner and not the question, or perhaps both. As you come to Christ tonight, He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're thinking as you sit in your seat. He knows whether you have a link with him or whether you have a desire to have a link with him. But the first thing in the glad tidings is to accept that you're a sinner and you need a saviour. That's the first step to recovery, you know. You need to accept how you stand before a holy and righteous God. You don't match up, you know. You come short. You fail. People don't like to fail, do they? You fail. You fail completely. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Christ never came short of the glory of God. You know, it says here, dismissed not his prisoners homeward. Satan will never let you go. I love Luke 4, because there I find a man moving in the will of God to preach to the captives deliverance. The Lord Jesus takes up public service in Luke 4, bringing the grace of God, the grace of God which carried with it salvation, has appeared. Think of it. Love to think of it, you know. Carrying it to Worthing tonight, where it's needed. Needed in this room, surely needed everywhere. The grace of God, bringing salvation with it, you know. Love to think of that. Think of Satan's attempts just before that in Luke. To gain access to Christ in the wilderness, you know. No access whatever. He says to the Lord that all this glory, the world's glory, has been given up to me, he said. Do you think God gave him that? Not a bit of it. Satan gained that power through the lusts that was in the heart of man. Your heart and mine. That's how he's gained power over persons, because of what's in your heart. And there's no release. You can't get free from Satan's clutches by your own efforts. You cannot. Thank God there's one who can release you from Satan's power tonight, and that's the Lord Jesus. Undoing the works of the devil. That's what he was doing as he moved amongst men. He was undoing the works of the devil. No wonder Satan attacked him right at the start. He knew. Who was there? The whole thrust of his attack was to take the Lord Jesus out of the place of dependent manhood. But he never succeeded. If he had succeeded, the Lord Jesus could not have taken my place at Calvary's cross. He could not have succeeded. The Lord Jesus was absolutely sin apart. In him, sin was not. Who did no sin? Now there was guile found in his mouth. A completely different order of man, you know. And while this desire to rise up is found in every one of us through the activities of Satan, the mind to go down was found in Jesus. When Satan said, "I will be God," God said, "I will be man." Think of him coming down to deliver. Think of Christ coming in order that you and I might have a way back to God, you know. There was no way back for Adam. There was no way. Flame of the flashing sword, you know, prevented access to the tree of life. It's interesting the way it's presented in Scripture. As if it was an awful contemplation that man, having fallen into sin, could gain access to the tree of life and live forever in sin. The lives of wicked men down the centuries have been terminated by death. But you know, the way to the tree of life has been opened up. but the sword went through the soul of my Saviour. You know what Christ has done for me. The access to the tree of life is found in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have life eternal. Sit down now. That's the gospel. You can't improve it. You can't add to it. It tells you that you're perishing. Continue the way you are, and you'll end in a Christless eternity. It's as simple as that. Come to Christ. Find he can meet your need. Whatever your need, he'll meet it now. And so the Lord moves here, bringing relief to men in his pathway. Think of what it meant, you know, for him to come here. Have you any idea what it meant for him to lay aside the glory that belonged to him as God? That's a key part of the gospel message, you know. There's persons who'll tell you that Jesus died for them, that he went to the cross, but they don't believe that he was the Son of God. That's a cardinal part of the gospel message, that Jesus was God. He is God. And he laid aside the glory that belonged to him as God. That's what Paul's telling us in Philippians 2, subsisting in the form of God. He did not esteem it an object of rapine to be on equality with God, but emptied himself. That is, that he emptied himself in coming into manhood. That's what he did. Took a place, dependent manhood. You know, it couldn't be hid who he was. It shone through. Glory of who Christ was shone through. But he maintained a place of dependent manhood as he moved here in the will of God. You know, never been a life like the life of Jesus, you know. Your life has been studied by God. You ever thought about that? God looks down and takes account of the activities of men. He looked down when Christ was here and he found delight in every footstep that he made. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I have found my delight. The life of Christ is so different from your life, you know. A man moving in the will of God in absolute perfection. But he was going to the cross. As God, he emptied himself. As man, he humbled himself. This is what was found in Christ. Why did he come? Because of your lost condition and mind. You know, I could never have understood what lay in God's heart of love for me were it not for what Jesus did. I could never have understood it. God commends his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, nothing in me that merited this sacrifice. Nothing. I was far from God, rebellious, an alien, without Christ, without hope in the world. But Christ came in. He intervened. Thank God. Are you going to allow him to intervene in your life tonight? Think of the course of your life, my friend. However long or short it's been, think of its course. Where is it heading? Think of how the Lord intervened in that woman's life, the city of Nain, you know. Think of the feelings of Christ coming out as he took that whole scene in. A widow woman lost her son. Stopped the beer. Stopped it. whole progress of life, that woman's life, stopped through a transaction with the Lord Jesus. That can happen to you tonight. Wonderful day in your life when you meet the Saviour. Wonderful day. Saul met him on the road to Damascus. He met Jesus. You could meet him in your seat tonight. Isn't that wonderful? Just where you are, you can come to Christ. You can ask him into your life. You can ask for his forgiveness. You can accept that he went to Calvary for you, that he bore your sins in his body on the tree, that he shed his blood for you. This is what Jesus has done for you personally. Will you accept him as a Savior? Will you avail yourself of this blessing? We speak of salvation, you know. What will it profit my soul? You know, unless it is relied on by you. You know, there's been provision made for everybody. Everybody. The gospel goes out to whosoever will. How that conveys the heart of God in the glad tidings. He wants to bless you. He knows everything about you as a sinner. There's nothing he doesn't know. It's the woman in John 4 discovered. The Lord knew more about her than she probably knew about herself. But that's what gives you peace, you know. I love to think of it that the one who knows you best loves you most. Isn't that marvellous? He knows everything about you, knows what you've done. And he still wants to bless you. Every sin, you know, laid upon him, every single one. Sin is not forgiven. Sin is judged. It was judged at the cross. God condemned sin in the flesh in his own Son. But you know, sins are forgiven because Jesus bore every single one. Don't trivialize sin. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, don't ever trivialize sin. It cost him so much to remove it. The cost was immense. You read this. Paul's conveying what it cost, you know. He became obedient unto death. Death will overtake you and I. It would never have overtaken Jesus. Never. He gave up his life. What did that mean to him? It says prophetically, cut me not off in the midst of my days. Took it on for me, you know. Originator of life, ye slew. Peter says, the originator of life went voluntarily into the area of death for me. I'll never know, as a believer, what death is. Never. Death is a penalty. It's a horror. It's a horror. It's the king of terrors. And you may resist Christ throughout your life. But when you die, you will submit to Christ because he's over dead and living. Just think about that. You will submit to Christ. Why not submit to him in a day of grace when you can be blessed? Becoming obedient unto death, and that, the death of the cross. Think of the suffering of the cross. The most dreadful death that the Romans could think of. Why did he go that way? Because the scripture said, cursed is everyone hung upon a tree. That's why he went. You know, he made the wood that the cross was made of. The nails that pierced his hands were mined in secret places he designed. Stood He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood. The Creator of the universe hung there on Calvary's cross for you. The cost was immense. I can't convey to you the cost. But I know that if you refuse this offer of salvation tonight, there's nothing else for you. What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? Mm-hmm. Dear friend, you bring nothing in to the world, you'll take nothing out. Mm-hmm. Dear young person, as you set out in life, make sure you have a link with the Saviour. Mm-hmm. Man's glory, you know, persons crave man's glory. If you crave glory here, it involves giving way to the God of this world. Mm. That's what it is, you know. Make sure you have a living link with the Saviour. That's the most important thing in your life. Mm. It's not to say you can't have a career, you can't go on and achieve things, but make sure you have a link with Jesus. This world is heading for judgment. Mm-hmm. It's already been passed. It's only to be executed. It's coming. The wind of God's judgment, the storm that burst on the head of Jesus, will shield all those who trust in him. Those who now are sheltering under the precious blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That was escape from judgment. The wind of God's judgment is coming upon the earth. A man shall be as a hiding place in the wind. That man is Jesus. The storm was borne by him on the cross of Calvary. Thine open bosom was my ward. It bore the storm for me. What a Saviour Jesus is. That, the day on the cross. Do you know these words? It is finished. It is finished. Are among the most blessed in the whole of Scripture. The judgment was exhausted. It was exhausted. There was nothing left to be done. You can come into the full blessing of what Christ has secured through faith and repentance. It's as simple as that. There's no updating to the gospel message. It's as current today as ever. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He went into death. He went into the heart of the earth. There is no one gone lower than Jesus. No one. The weeds were wrapped about my head. The bars of the earth closed upon me forever. It was real for Jesus. It was real for the blessed God. Says typically, you know, Jacob, but I had not thought to see thy face. I had not thought to see thy face, what it meant for the blessed God, for Christ to be in death. But you know, he was claimed from that area by the glory of the Father. Death could not hold him. Because he'd never sinned. Death had no power upon him. He comes out of death triumphant. A risen, glorious Saviour. Another cardinal point of the glad tidings. That Jesus is alive. If Christ is not raised, you're still in your sins. There's no hope for any of us. But Jesus is alive. Raised and glorified at the right hand of God. How rightly crowned is Jesus, you know. Given a name which is above every name. How precious is the name of Jesus to you, my friend. Every knee will bow. A new glory decks his brow. And every knee to him will bow. Think of that. God will see to it that every knee bows to Jesus. You will bow the knee. Why not bow the knee tonight? Come to him as a saviour. Otherwise you may meet him as a judge, the same blessed person. You know, John had never seen him like he saw him in Revelation, in judicial garb, you know. The person he knew and loved was there in a very different setting. You know, the great white throne is a very solemn scene. You know, it says there of the Lord before whose face heaven and earth fled. The face of Jesus. Think of the beauty in the face of Jesus tonight. Think of the attractiveness of the face of Jesus. You know, think of that man in John 9 when his eyes were opened, he saw Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? How attractive he is, you know. But there he is, before whose face heaven and earth fled. That the dead, great and small, raised for judgment, to be confined to the lake of fire. Prepared for the devil and his angels, not prepared for man. This man will find himself there through refusal to accept God's way of salvation. I'm sorry if I haven't made it plain, but come to Christ tonight. Accept him as your personal saviour. He wants to bless you. He's got the ability, he can bless you. God has a righteous basis to come out in blessing towards you, the sinner, because of what Christ has done. God is entirely satisfied with the finished work of Jesus. His blood availed for me. It can avail for you. It could have availed for that soldier. I don't know whether he came to Christ or not. Think of that, you know, piercing the side of Christ. But it's been the cleansing of many thousands down the generations. I'm sure it'll be the means of the cleansing of many tonight. May someone here tonight come to Christ. And if you've come before, keep coming. Keep coming. We're living in dark days, you know, but the Lord's coming is very near. Remember, the world's heading for judgment, and our hope is connected to the man in the glory. May we all know him as a Saviour and Lord, for his name's sake. Amen.